I had a topic that the Lord placed upon my heart a couple weeks ago. I was, you know, I tend to read the news sometimes. Maybe I shouldn't read it as much as I do, but you know, I was thinking about some of the worries people have about things that are going on. You know, things that happened with the shootings out in Dallas. You know, it seems like every week there's something, and you know, there's always been bad things going on throughout all the time, but you can definitely see that, you know, we're approaching the last days, I believe, and you know, it's pretty close. And again, you know, we were always saying, you know, the Lord could return any time, and they've always been preaching that message, you know, for 100 years, for 1,000 years, even in the beginning of the gospel, you know, they were talking about the Lord's return is very near. But I do think we're approaching, you know, in a matter of decade or decades when the Lord's going to return. So I was thinking about these things, and you know, I thought to myself, why am I so why would I need to get so worked up about some of these things? You know, like the world does, and the world's trying to find solutions for these problems, and you know, they're not going to be able to do so unless they turn to the Lord. And I thought, you know, I need to be different and not react to these things like the world does, you know. And this title, Better Things for You, you know, there should be better things for us. There are better things for us. And we need to remember that. We're not to be of this world. And we need to behave differently when we hear of troubled times and the things that happen, and we need to keep our faith in the Lord and put our ultimate hope in the Lord. And so this title, Better Things for You, Better Things for Us, that have, you know, the Lord is our Savior, and, you know, that has our Heavenly Father in heaven, you know, we can be different. There are good things for us, no matter if there's bad things going on or not. You know, we are to feel at peace in our life. And I then kind of thought about the hope that we have, the hope that comes from God. We have a hope that the world doesn't have. The Lord has offered us hope and given us hope in this world that those of the world don't have. You know, you can see why everybody's panicking about this and that. You know, if they don't have the Lord, excuse me, the Lord, you know, to hope upon, then why not? Why wouldn't you be worrying about these things all the time and stressed out about them? But, you know, we're not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be different. And if we are thinking the same way that the world does, then we're not where we need to be spiritually. We need to be different. We need to be not of this world. So what I want to do is I want to just talk about hope today and what the Lord offers to us, the hope that He offers to us, and we should all be at peace in our lives, you know, from day to day. We can be different than the world. So I have some cartoons, some pictures I wanted to start out with. Some examples of worldly hope. Oh, that, we don't know what it is. The plan is to just ignore it and hope it goes away. So they're looking at a stock market chart. You know, it's going down, and I don't know what this other arrow is in the upper right-hand corner. But, you know, this is one example of hope. You know, I hope this happens the way I want it to hope or happen, you know, with no belief whether or not it will happen or it won't. It might happen. I hope it does. And that's kind of one type of hope. You know, and I sometimes act that way. You know, I hope this happens or this happens. And it's not, I don't think it's a sin, but it's just, it's one type of hope that we can have in the world. Now this one, you know, worldly hope, this one's quite different. Glimmer of hope, there's this casino machine to pull the lever and try to win money, and, you know, a lot of people put their hope in money. If I just could have more money, it would take care of all my problems. A cartoon, chickens, I still have hope for humanity, or some turkeys, I suppose. Not for any particular reason, mind you, just because it feels better than having no hope. So, the Lord doesn't want us to be like this. You know, just trying to have hope and not really having a reason for it. It feels better, but there's no foundation to this. There's nothing you can lean back on. There's no rock. Another cartoon, come on, you've been cooped up here for days. I find it easier to have hope for society if I stay away from it. So you can just kind of ignore everything. And we do. We need to kind of ignore things, not get so worked up about things because of the hope that comes from God. But I think this is kind of different. This is more of a worldly attitude, not having God into perspective. This one, I like our old slogan better. I can't tell if they're taking down a sign or putting up the sign. I think they're putting it up because there's the hammer. So hope springs eternal. They're replacing with abandon all hope. That there's nothing left to hope in. What do we have in this world to hope in? I'm giving up. Politicians aren't taking care of it. So I'm going to abandon all hope that I have. Avoid disappointment later, abandon all hope now. The same thing. There's nothing to hope for. Just don't have any hope about anything. Just be discouraged. Well, I guess just don't worry about it. Don't hope for anything. Nothing's good going to happen. It's not optimistic. Here's a picture of our president. Hope. A lot of people tend to put their hope in people, that somebody is going to solve all our problems. And we need to make sure we don't do that. People can be used of God, even politicians can be used of God, but our hope comes from the Lord. Here's another picture that I like better. A picture of Jesus. Jesus is our greatest hope. God the Father and Jesus Christ, he was the hope for humanity. Without his sacrifice, we would have no hope. Back to worldly hope. Jeremiah 18:11-12. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now everyone from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. So I was kind of thinking about this, and I kind of see America in this. And some of the people in this present world, there's evil coming against America. Bad things are happening. The Lord's letting it happen, I believe. In some cases, that he's removed as the hedge of protection, just like he did for Israel. So this is very much applicable to us or our country, as well as it was to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He's saying, come back to me and turn from your evil way and repent of what you're doing. It says, I will make your ways and your doings good. It's a promise. If we would turn back to God, then he's going to turn bad times into good times. And this is what the people said. They said, there's no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. So they're not listening to the Lord. They're saying, the Lord can't offer us hope. I want to put my trust in something else, something that I come up with, my own device, or this person here I think offers us hope, rather than putting their trust in God. So this is an example of how the world would try to have hope, after their own thoughts and what they come up with. Yeah, the golden calf, yeah. So they got impatient, and they weren't waiting for the Lord. He would have solved all their problems, but they tried to do it their own way. That's a good example. So we are not to be of this world. We are to be different. In John 17:14-16, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So, you know, if we are different and following the Lord's commandments and teachings, there's going to be resistance. We are going to run up to people that don't like us. And we talked about that today during Sunday school. We, you know, we could be persecuted for our beliefs. But, you know, Christ said here, he didn't want them to be taken out of the world. You know, leave them alone, leave them where they are, but bless them, take care of them, keep them, deliver them from evil. That was his prayer, but so we're to be in the world, but not of the world, just like it says here. And I was thinking about this verse, sometimes I think about this verse from time to time, and there's a Stephen Curtis Chapman song from like the 80s, I think, and it's called Not Home Yet. We are not home yet. And really, we are not home yet, because we're not with the Lord. One day we will be. So I thought about that. And so, you know, what would Christ say of you based on your attitudes and your discussions with others? How you react to things in the world, you know, would it be obvious that you're not of the world or not? You know, would you be of the world? Do you act the same way as everybody else does? And they might not know how you feel. You know, go to work and do your job. They may go to work and do their job, but they might be struggling inside with their thoughts and seeing all the stuff that's going on and really concerned about it and all panicky about it. But then you could have peace, you know, in your heart, in your soul. You know, you can be different. And when they bring these things up to you, you could say, well, yeah, you know, I know that God's in control and, you know, I'm not going to worry about it. Another verse about not of this world, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you're supposed to be transformed. You're supposed to be completely different. So again, you know, myself included, are we completely different from other people or from people that put their hope in things of the world, rather than putting their hope in God? You know, do we want to try to solve all of our problems our way, or let God take care of it? You know, because we know if we turn to Him, if this country would turn to God, it would all be taken care of. All the problems would go away just like that. And we could go on for hundreds more years in America and be blessed like we have been in times past. It could continue, it could go on until the return of the Lord. You know, He's going to return one day, and there's a timeline that He knows what that timeline is, but He could solve all of our problems. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So there's a lot of things in this verse. You know, God chose our generation, the generation of the gospel. You know, this was written right after Christ was here on earth. You know, this is the generation we live in when we have the gospel. And they didn't have the fullness of the gospel. Well, they did have the fullness of the gospel. And then the plain and precious things were removed from Scripture. But then we have the restoration in our generation. So we are blessed because of that. A royal priesthood. You know, there's a priesthood of believers here today. You know, there's priesthood in the ministry, but you are part of Christ's church. You are part of that structure. We're to be holy. We're to be different, a peculiar people. And I've got some verses in here about darkness and light. And I think there was one verse we talked about today in Sunday school about darkness. But, you know, Christ and His Word shows us what truth is. You know, if we go to his scriptures, we have all the answers. We're not in darkness. We're different. We can see things that the world doesn't see. And it's like a big light that shines on everything and gives us a perspective. And we can see what's going on and we understand why it's going on. And we know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. So that's kind of like this light and dark. You know, Christ in some scriptures, he's compared to the sun. And how it shines in the church in the book of Revelation, you know, it has a brilliance that woman in Revelation 12 that has a brilliance arrayed, you know, like the sun. And some of that's the light of Christ shining out of us, but you know, we can see things that the world can't see. We don't need to live in darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 through 11. Let's turn to this one. There's a lot of good information in this. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So we know that the Lord is going to turn or to return. And some are going to be very well surprised when he returns. But then verse 4 says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day shall overtake you as a thief. You know, we are different. We're supposed to be different. We know the Lord's going to return. We can see it coming on the horizon. You know, the world's saying, you know, have peace. Let's try to bring about peace our own way. Let's try to be safe. Let's try to do this. But then, you know, bad things are going to happen more and more. And then verse 5, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So this is one of those light and dark concepts. We have the light of Jesus Christ. We have the truth. We know what's going on. We can take advantage of a peace that God gives us to know that we're saved. You know, if we endure to the end, we're not like the world. We're not of the night. We aren't of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. You know, we're supposed to watch things that are going around and prepare ourselves. And be prepared, unlike these others that sleep. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. So breastplate of faith and love, you know, this is protection. This would be for protection, a breastplate. When we put our faith in God, when we put our ultimate trust in Him, our hope in Him, it's a breastplate of faith. And then we're going to keep His commandments, and we're going to love one another, and we're going to realize the love that God has for us. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation, this hope that we have that the world doesn't have. It can be like a helmet that we wear that protects us. You know, you think about people in the army that wore helmets. I've watched some videos recently about World War II, and you know, they all have helmets. And those helmets were supposed to be, you know, there for protection. So we can wear a helmet as well. We can have this hope of salvation, and it can, you know, gives us hope and can protect us, and we can wear it knowing that we're taken care of. We have this hope in God. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So that's, you know, that's why we're here today. You know, me giving this sermon is to help edify you. And when I listen to you and your testimonies, and, you know, during Sunday school today, you know, you were edifying to me. So we all come together and we're supposed to edify one another, and we're supposed to be examples for one another. because we all have different gifts and we all have different perspectives, but we're all in this together, and we can learn from one another and comfort ourselves. You know, the Lord says we can have comfort. We can, you know, comfort yourselves. It can happen. There's comfort out there that you can have and take advantage of. It's truth. It's scripture. It's right here. So let's try to comfort one another during you know, the remainder of our lives. I've got some definitions of hope. Number one, want something to happen or be the case. Number two, to desire without any basis for expecting fulfillment. Number three, a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Number four, to desire with expectation of obtainment. You know, and I have a desire for the Lord to return and to live with Him forever. We're starting to get into godly hope here. Number five, a feeling of trust. You know, putting our trust in the Lord. Number six, to expect with confidence, not waver, not have doubts, not be tossed and turned like the waves that it talks about in Scripture. Number seven, to expect something beneficial in the future. You know, do you believe that the future with Christ, do you believe that it is a benefit to us? Are you looking forward to it? Number eight, a person, a thing, or a situation that will help you get what you want. And, you know, we could apply this to somebody in the world, or we could apply this to God. God can help us get what we want. God can give us salvation. He can, you know, give us eternal life. You know, we need to put our hope in God. This is godly hope. Another cartoon, we can't always wing it with quick fix solutions. We need an effective long-term miracle. So we have a God of miracles. You know, and you look at what happens in the world, and it's like, there's no way that can get fixed. How's that problem going to be taken care of? You know, even maybe God Himself probably couldn't take care of it. But of course He could. He could do miracles. He can solve all of our problems just like that. You know, He solved all the world's problems. Instead of trying to find quick fix solutions like the world does, you know, and someone or something or some idea, or, you know, just to accept sin, you know, homosexuality or whatever, you know, we're solving problems here by putting something or opening up our bathrooms that says women, to both men and women. You know, the world's not looking where they should. They're trying to do things their way. They think it's right, but it's not right. If they were to follow God, it would all be taken care of. And this, I was looking at the news last night, and this title on CNN for the Dallas shootings, it said, "Who can make it stop?" And then at the bottom, "Is there a leader who can stop the chaos and heal America?" I thought, it goes right along with my sermon. Who can solve our problem? You know, which presidential candidate can solve our problem? Or there's got to be somebody who can fix this. There's got to be something we can do. But who is that person? I don't know, but there's got to be somebody. Rather than putting a title on here, it should have said, "God can make this stop." They didn't do that. They don't know. So, the remainder of my sermon, I wanted to talk about hope that comes from God and four different things. Number one, hope during turmoil. Number two, the present benefits. Number three, the future promises. And number four, the requirements. You know, how can we have hope during turmoil? Because of what God does for us. What are the present benefits of the hope that God gives? What are the future promises because of the hope that God gives? And what are the requirements? You know, in order to get this hope from God, in order for God to deliver us, what are the requirements of us? I've got some cartoons for each one of these. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. So in this movie, in the Star Wars movie, Obi-Wan Kenobi was the hope for the whole galaxy and the universe. But we need to put our hope in God. Alma 15, 46, 47, and from the first year to the 15th has brought to pass the destruction of many thousand lives. Yea, it has brought to pass an awful scene of bloodshed. And the bodies of many thousands are laid low in the earth, while the body of many thousands are moldering in heaps upon the face of the earth. You know, and we've seen that in the world over time. There's bloodshed. There's bloodshed today. Yea, and many thousands are mourning for the loss of their kindred, because they have reason to fear, according to the promises of the Lord, that they are consigned to a state of endless woe. So, you know, we were talking about that child that was killed this morning. You know, if you didn't know the gospel of Jesus Christ and know that those children are going to go to their Lord that gave them life and they're going to be blessed because of it, you know, you would be in despair. You know, how could you recover from that in any way? While many thousands of others truly mourn for the loss of their kindred, yet they rejoice and exult in the hope, yea, and even know according to the promises of the Lord that they are raised to dwell at the right hand of God in a state of never-ending happiness. So, you know, the ones that were following the Lord, they had a hope, you know, if their husband was killed, if the, you know, say a Nephite husband was killed, which happened, by a Lamanite, or vice versa, if the Lamanites were following the Lord, which they did at times, you know, these people were supposed to realize that, you know, they will be raised to dwell with ever with God in a state of never-ending happiness. And you can, you know, if you follow the Lord and His teachings and you die, your relatives, your spouse, your children, they have this hope. And they know, you know, that you were blessed and you went to be with the Lord. And it's a great blessing to them. And it's a great, you know, so this is something that we have that comes from the Lord, that if you have a worldly attitude, the world doesn't have it. But, you know, thanks be to God that we do have a hope. We do have a hope that the world does not have. Alma 16:2-39, and now, my beloved brethren, I would exhort you to have patience, and that ye bear with all manner of afflictions, that ye do not revile against those who do cast you out because of your exceeding poverty, lest ye become sinners like unto them, but that ye have patience and bear with those afflictions with a firm hope, that ye shall one day rest from all your afflictions. So even when there's difficulty, again, we talked about this today, when there's difficulty, you can have hope. You're supposed to be patient. It doesn't say that we're not going to have afflictions, which is a difficult thing. The Lord might not take away all of our problems, but we're supposed to be patient, and we're always supposed to have this in the back of our head and remember this. Even during times of affliction, we can have peace in our lives. When we read the news, we see what's going on, we can have peace in our life. 1 Peter 3:12 through 13. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good? You know, don't fear them that can kill your body, but fear God, you know, that can kill your immortal body and your soul. You know, have fear of the Lord. Don't have fear of evil that is in the world. Because the Lord's watching us, and He's listening to our prayers. And because of that, we are blessed. And you know, it's definitely difficult to get to this state of mind. And I haven't reached that plateau yet. I probably never will, but I'm working on it and I'm doing better. 1 Peter 3:14 to 15, continuation. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. You know, there are terrorists in the world today. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, if somebody asked you to deny Jesus Christ like we were talking about today, you are to be ready and be prepared so that you can say, my hope is in the Lord, and I'm not going to fear what you're going to do to me. Because we have a fear of God, and we are humble. Psalm 31, 23-24. O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So we are to find courage in what God gives. It's supposed to be different. We're supposed to find strength. We're supposed to find peace. We know that over the course of time, in general, the Lord has taken care of the people that have been faithful to Him. He delivered Israel. He promised that He would take care of us in this land. This land would always be a land of blessing if we would follow the Lord. It's a promise. It's a promise in the Book of Mormon. And He's always protected our nation as a whole because of it. Number two, the present benefits. This one, cartoon, I sure hope we can sign up for health care before we die of natural causes. So my little thought here was, you can receive spiritual benefits now, and they're free of charge. You can have free spiritual health care right now in this day that we are living. Lamentations 3, 24-26, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, the Lord gives us a portion, just like we have a portion of the food we eat. He's going to give us this portion, and it can comfort us, and it can bring us peace. And so there's a present benefit in our lives right now that you can be different than the world. You have a Savior in our Heavenly Father, and you know you have that abiding comforter, the Holy Ghost, that will comfort you, and that will speak to the Lord on our behalf. It talks about that the Holy Spirit will speak to the Lord with groanings, you know, praying for things that we don't know what to pray about. The Holy Spirit will pray with our groanings. And even when you don't know what to pray about, you can be blessed. You know, the Lord knows your heart. He knows what's going on in your soul, what you're thinking about. We have a hope that the world doesn't have, and it's a benefit that can be applied today. Ether 5:4, wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God. So it's a sure thing. A better world is a sure thing at the right hand of God if you follow His teachings. Which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. So I chose that we have an anchor song to sing today. And this is the Book of Mormon, but that song goes right along. I don't know if this was somebody that believed in the Book of Mormon that wrote this song or not, but this verse goes right along with that song. You know, anchor souls of men, steadfast and sure. So in this song it says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. So it seems like they must have believed in the Book of Mormon, because this goes right along with that song. So again, it's a present benefit. It's an anchor. It can hold us down so we're not bouncing around back and forth. One day we have peace, and the next day, you know, I don't have peace, or I don't have peace at all. You know, we can be stable in the waters. Jeremiah 17:7 through 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So there's a lot of things in this verse. You're going to be blessed. You're going to have nourishment, spiritual nourishment. You're going to grow. You're going to produce fruit. You're going to be healthy, spiritually healthy, where you need to be. Peace in your life. When bad things happen, when there's years of drought, like it talks about here, you can still prosper even during those times. And it says, shall not be careful in the year of drought. So this word, not be careful, I mean, it means being anxious. You're not going to be anxious in the year of drought. You know, there's another passage that says, be careful for nothing. And that's what it's talking about. It's talking about anxiety. So this is true. This is a promise the Lord made to us. A quote, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. You know, how hard that is to always be able to praise our God, you know, even during difficult times. And when we go through a difficulty, you may not see the advantage, or you may not see the blessing that the Lord can bring about from a hardship. But Scripture says all things work to the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. God can turn any problem into a blessing. Number three, the future promises. Vote here, abandon hope, all ye who enter here. So, you know, the politicians make a lot of promises. And people have just, whoever wrote this cartoon, they've just given up. They said, these politicians aren't going to solve our problems. Don't waste your time to vote. You know, it's not going to do any good. And, you know, God can work with a politician. There were some candidates this year that believed in the Lord and followed the Lord, I believe, with their hearts, but the world didn't want anything to do with them. They don't want anything to do with them anymore. Joel 3:16-17, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through here anymore. So this is something that's going to happen in the future. This is something that's going to happen in the future. The Lord's going to return. All the world's going to see it in the clouds. That veil's going to be lifted. They're going to see the Lord returning, and people are going to try to hide in the rocks, and they're going to know at that time that the Bible, Book of Mormon, you know, this teaching about God, about Jesus Christ, they're going to know right then, I didn't believe in it before, but now it's true. Oh no, what have I done? You know, how did I live my life? My life was a waste. I didn't follow the teachings of Scripture. But look at what's happening. The Lord's coming back in the sky. So, you know, oh no, what, you know, it's. But when the Lord returns and we're where we need to be with the Lord, we're going to be blessed because of it. We're going to have, you know, we're going to go up and meet the Lord in the clouds, and there's people who are going to be resurrected, the righteous, and we're going to live together with the Lord forever. So it's a future promise to us. It's a future promise, so it's a hope that we look forward to. And we can be numbered with the children of Israel. It talks about that in Scripture. My last one, number four, the requirements. More about the requirements. What we have to do to get this hope. And it says, your only hope is a fast food worker's strike. So this guy, he must eat a lot of fast food. The only way you're going to lose weight is if all the fast food workers go on strike, and so you can't get that food anymore. So I thought that was kind of funny. Moroni 7:45-46. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? So there's an interrelationship between faith and hope that it's going to talk about here. Verse 47, "Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise." So we have hope, you know, because of our faith, because of the promises that God has made that are true. We have hope. We have something to look forward to. 48-49, "Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain. For none is acceptable before God, save the meek and the lowly of heart." So again, there's a relationship between faith and hope here. You know, there's something better. If you put your faith in God, you'll have hope. And it says that God's plan requires humility. It talks about the meek and the lowly of heart down here at the bottom. You know, being humble is a continuous struggle that you will have your whole life. But if you're not humble, you know, you're not going to be able to reach out to God. You're going to put all your trust in yourself, that you can solve all of your problems. And that's the best it is. You know, even though I have the scripture here, I'm not going to believe what it says, and I'm going to do things my way. Ether 5:32, "For after that they had faith and did speak in thy name, thou didst show them thyself unto them in great power. And I also remember that thou hast said that thou hast prepared a house for man, yea, even among the mansions of thy Father, in the which man might have a more excellent hope. Wherefore man must hope, or he cannot receive an inheritance in the place which thou hast prepared." You know, I thought about this verse. It says you have to have hope. You know, if you don't have faith in the Lord, if you don't have hope in his promises, you're not where you need to be spiritually. It says you cannot receive an inheritance in the place which thou hast prepared. And that's you know, that's very significant, right? It's your eternal salvation. You have to have faith. You have to have hope. Moroni 10:16, "Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith, neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair, and despair cometh because of iniquity." So if you have faith, if you don't have true faith, you cannot put your hope in God. You will be in despair, like it talks about here. And it says if you're in despair, you're living a life of sin. If you go about, you're weak in despair, you're not where you need to be. You have a problem that you need to take care of right now before it's too late. 2 Nephi 13:29, "Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men." So it's kind of talking about light again. There's this brightness. There's things you can see. There's good things because you have hope. Something, a light you can see out there that gives you hope. And there was a quote, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said, "The setting of a great hope is like the setting of the sun. The brightness of our life is gone." You know, if somebody puts their hope in some person, they don't solve the problem or they die or whatever, it's like the setting of the sun. Well, if you don't have the Lord, it's like the sun setting on the horizon. You can't see it anymore. There's darkness, and you have nothing to put your hope in. You know, the Lord wants to bring brightness to our life so that we can have peace, that we can have joy, that we can have happiness in our life. We are to look to the sun. And, you know, the things of the world will set. They're going to set. And you're not going to be able to put your hope in them. But God, and the brightness he brings, and the sun, it's never going to set. It's always going to be there for you to, you know, to get that pleasing life, to feel that sunshine on your shoulders, you know, all the time it's there. It's never going to set. My last time, good times ahead, it shows a cloud with rain, and then it shows the sunshine. There's good times ahead, and the greatest time will be when the Lord returns, and with we're with Him forever, and that'll be a great blessing. So you can look forward to that. You can always look forward to that, and nobody can take that away from you, ever. They can never take it away. So I thank you, thankful for your time, and I hope this was helpful to you. It was really helpful to me to kind of think about this, and I'm going to continue to try to remember these things in my life.